It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
That's right, you're back another week for the Tony Sands Show. We've been on vacation, but we're back to bring you the show that you most definitely deserve to hear from the man, myself, Tony Sands. We got a show for you tonight. We're going to talk a little lack of institutional control, lack of control, period, when it comes to the NCAA and the way they handled the University of Miami investigation. In a court of law, man, this situation will be thrown out due to the fact of the way it was botched. In a court of law, you can't even get a judge to even hear something like this. Now, do Miami pull the card and say, you know what? It's probably about time that we challenge the NCAA's finding in the way that they handle. Hey, let's take them to court. Has it been done? No, Penn State has thought about it in the way that their case was handled. So it makes you think that they truly have what they had on Penn State to levy the fines. And I understand we're saying about Penn State. I bought Penn State up for one reason and one reason only. Do we truly trust the findings of the NCAA when it comes to their investigation? Because there's no one else to govern their investigation. We're going to talk a little bit about that later in the show. We're going to talk to our guy tonight, Mr. Bibbs, as we talk high school, college football, and the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to talk to my main man out of the Ohio area, defensive back that played in the league for several years, my main man, Hassan Bailey. But let's get back to the main topic that everybody want to talk about and would love to hear. But you can call us if you want to chime in on some of these topics. You can call us at 530-413-9537. That's line one. You can call to speak to your boy, 530-513-6472. If you want to talk anything in sports, or if you want to chime in on the University of Miami situation. Do these guys get hit with the word that's often used when it comes to investigations of a college program by the NCAA? The one word that people do not like to hear: a lack of institutional control. A lack of institutional control. In the University of Miami down in Coral Gables, that word is starting to spread. The last program that was levied when it comes to a lack of institutional control to where the NCAA came down on them so hard, as we know, and gave them the death penalty was SMU. They used it again in the Penn State case to where Penn State got levied hard to where now, as I told you, Penn State officials and their governors saying, hey, we want to challenge the levies that the NCAA put down on us because we don't find it to be right. We don't find it to be just. But the University of Miami now is being hit with that word. And as they say, the NCAA is saying that former Miami assistants Clint Huff, Audrey Hill, and George Fernandez provided false or misleading information during the probe into the Hurricanes athletic department. The NCAA said all three principles of ethic conduct as part of the notice of allegations served against the University of Miami, according to a person who spoke with the Associated Press on Wednesday, on condition of anonymity because of the allegations have not been released publicly. It's not been released publicly. So, and I find that every time somebody say they don't want to be known in investigation, but they also put their names out in an investigation, I find that to be so crazy. If you're man enough to speak on this situation, you're man enough to say, hey, I'm who I am, this is my name, and I'm saying this because I believe it to be factual and true, and if you challenge it, it will come out to be true. And at the time of this, Clint Hurt and Audra Hill were members of the football staff. Fernandez at that time worked with the men's basketball staff. But they're saying there are several other coaches are named and referenced in the allegation, including Missouri's basketball coach Frank Haight, was alleged to have false to promote an atmosphere of compliance. But Hurt, Audra Hill, and Fernandez are facing ethical conduct charges, commonly known as the NCAA 10 rule number 10-1. Hurt is currently on the staff at Louisville. Audra Hill is not working as a coach at this time, and Fernandez spent the last season as an assistant at Marshall, resigning last May. When these allegations are starting to be strong and people knew that this would be a strong case in a thought that it would when it came to the University of Miami, because the NCAA promoted that they had so much information, but truly did they have credible information? Now you got to understand, when we're talking about the person that we're talking about, Nevin Shapiro, anyone that can believe a guy that at this present time is serving a 20-year prison term for masterminding a $930 million Ponzi scheme. So that means you lied to a lot of people and broke a lot of people's hearts. Do we truly hold truth to evidence that what this guy is saying is factual and truth? I'm finding it hard to believe, man. And then the way the NCAA did it now, in any court of law, is almost as saying, you know, I'm getting a divorce and me and my wife is going to have the same attorney. That cannot happen. It will not be true of an investigation that is going on. But the simple fact is that both sides, the NCAA hired Nevin Shapiro's attorney to get their information. Okay, if I'm working for both sides, I'm going to give you what you want a little bit, because I'm going to give it for Nevin Shapiro. And they also paid Nevin Shapiro for information. You paid a Ponzi schemer for information. And I think at this point, after all this has surfaced, I think Donna Shalala is at this point fed up and saying enough is enough. Enough is enough. I mean, you can't. And quote, I'm going to take a quote from Donna Shalala. Many of the charges brought forth are based on words of a man who made a fortune by lying. The NCAA enforcement staff acknowledged to the university that if Nevin Shapiro, a convicted con man, said something more than once, it is considered the allegation corroborated. And an argument which in both ludicrous and counter to legal practices. I mean, you can't. How do you take this guy's word to be truth when he's lied his way to the top? How do you take this to be truth? I don't see how that would come into play, because he's lied, but lied people out, cheated people out of $930 million in a Ponzi scheme. That is so crazy that the NCAA has lowered their standards to these type of games to where you paid Nevin Shapiro for his information and you pay his attorney for getting information. Then you wrote to a bankruptcy attorneys to give you information in a bankruptcy case, which never should have been done. Now, you got to remember, they're saying Hurt also took $2,500 in personal loans from Nevin Shapiro, which was repaid. And the NCAA also believe he sent about 40 in personal text messages to recruits, which typically is secondary or minor violations, guys. These are minor violations. Fernandez, the NCAA alleged, knowingly provided extra benefits in the form of airplane tickets and things of that nature. Come on, guys. You still haven't gotten anything to where I say you can attach a lack of institutional control on a university. It is crazy. The way this is being handled is a Bosch case, and I think if it was in a court of law, this would be thrown out. This would be thrown out. And then, you know, they threatened some of the past University of Miami players that if you guys do not speak with us, then we're going to take what Nevin Shapiro said as true, as a means to saying, okay, we're going to bully you guys. You guys don't want to speak to us. We're going to bully you guys into speaking with us. It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know why we would even stoop to that standards to even think that you can bully somebody without it's not a subpoena. You can't do that. You cannot do that and think that it's going to stand up in a court of law. It's just not going to happen. And it's saying, you know, some of the allegations are more than 10 years old, including a claim that Nevin Shapiro bought a suit for former Miami star running back Willis McGahee to wear to the Heisman Trophy ceremony in 2002. In 2002? You got to be kidding me. 2002? That's all that you have? Is that it? In 2000, other allegations include he paid dinner, television, sneakers, Miami Heat tickets, bowl parties, one player engagement ring, and used a washer and dryer set for bought a washer and dryer set for current New England Patriots lineman Vince Wilfork, and that he directed his girlfriend to give two former Hurricanes a no show job for a couple months. No show job, guys, mean at the NCAA level, mean you hire me, but I don't have to show up. You pay me, and I make a lot of money. And I don't have to go and work on a job. NCAA looks at that, and that's why they kind of have changed the ruling on that, you know, you guys can work at certain points of the year because they know it's got to happen. It's got to happen. Got to happen. It's got to happen. We're going to go to a commercial break, people, here on the Tony Sands Show. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show. Those that are joining us, it is an exciting show. We're talking about a lack of institutional control on which side, the NCAA or the University of Miami. Which one is right? Which one is wrong? But I think when you're talking about the NCAA, you got to say, guys, you guys must come to face value that you have screwed this case up. And so many people want to know what is the next step for the University of Miami. Stay tuned as we get more into that here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to a commercial break, guys.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Still be a better, better. We'll be right back. catch, can it throw? Are they ready?
If it got quick feet, can it move, can it go?
Are they ready?
Can it run, can it catch, can it throw?
Are they ready?
If it got quick feet, can it move, can it go?
Hey, do we got that UM swag? Hey, do we got that UM swag? Hey, do we got that UM swag?
Now, we're back here on the Tony Sands Show talking a lack of institutional control. Should the University of Miami get hit with a heavy, heavy penalty by the Infractions Committee with the NCAA? Or should the NCAA back off this investigation? And you know they're not going to back off because they are bullies and they have known to be bullies. For the simple fact, if they back off this, does it make teams like Ohio State, teams like UCLA, do it make these teams, USC, does it make these collegiate teams say, hey, wait a minute, you did this to us, but you didn't do it to them? And so many teams, and it's been talked about so much, that everybody wants the University of Miami to get hit with the lack of institutional control. Now, you got to understand, University of Miami has been under investigations one previous time before, to where, you know, they had some, you know, bowl bands, scholarships taken away from them. But I think Mr. Ember, that's at the top of the NCAA, has got to say his employees did a bad job of representing the NCAA and representing him. Represent, despite, and as you say, despite the recent 52 pages that the NCAA unprecedented screwed up, Mark Emmerich, who is the president, is still has roughly 80% of what he wants to believe is valid investigations into the University of Miami Athletic Department, and he plans on using it. Okay, you're saying 20% of your investigation was tainted, but you have 80%. Who's to believe that your 80% is factual when we know that 20% of yours, and as you rate 20%, probably more than 20% of it was screwed up also. But you don't want to say that much was screwed up. But and it's just like if you have a company, guys. I know who's giving out checks and who's giving monies. For the simple fact is that it's got to come across my desk in order for me to say, okay, hey, you write this person here a check, you write that person here a check. This is what's going on in this investigation. I want to know everything about this investigation. And for Mr. Ember to say that he had no knowledge of this stuff, the things that were going on, I find that hard to believe, people. You got to find that hard to believe. That this guy would say that he had no knowledge about none of this. And you are the head of the NCAA. Now, what you're trying to do, Mr. Ember, you're saying, okay, we're going to put it, you know, hey, this is what we're going for with. Now it's in the hands of the infraction committee, and we're going to let them do what they got to do. We're going to let them do what they got to do to get it off your back. Oh, yeah, I got nothing to do with this. I want nothing to do with this. And that's why over years and over time, I've always stated that the NCAA is like Debo in the movie Friday. Debo rode up on the bike and snatched necklaces and, you know, he told his guy, hey, get back. I run this. I am Debo. You do what I tell you to do. And that's the way the NCAA is. They tell you what to do because there's no governing body that governs them on what they should do and what they can do in the rules of the game. And that's the sad part about it. That is the sad part about it. Quote from Mr. Ember, as he stated, the committee will now move forward. I won't set a timeline on that, but they're moving forward with this dispatch. Now, he's not saying, hey, we're not saying it'll be over in a month. We're not saying it'll be over in a week. We're not saying it'll be over in 2 to 3 weeks. And hopefully, I'm quite sure in the Miami, in the University of Miami case, they're probably hoping that by that time, that there is a new head at the NCAA's office. They hoping that there is a new head at the NCAA office, because I think Mr. Embert has taken a bad rap when it comes to the people that works up under him. And I think still to this day that he knew about this. He knew about it. And you can't say he didn't. It's tough for me to say that he sat in his office and knew nothing of such. Nothing. And as I say, despite the program's own wrongdoings, the Miami fans have every right to be angry. And that they do. It's amazing Al Golden hasn't turned his back and walked right out. He has cut the recruiting the three classes during this mess. Heck. And as they say in the inner city of Philadelphia, has to be sounding good right now about. Right about now, they're sounding good in Philly, because, you know, they got to understand that's where Al Golden came from. Miami has followed the NCAA playbook on cooperation in this investigation every step of the way. And Miami has been cooperating with the University of Miami. That's what Donald Salela stated, that we will cooperate in the beginning of this investigation. Before all this came out that you was paying Nevin Shapiro's lawyer, you was paying Nevin Shapiro, Donna Shalala stayed face value and didn't comment a lot on this. She stated, like she said, we will, I repeat, we will cooperate with the NCAA's investigation. But I think Donna Shalala is saying, you know what, hey guys, enough is enough. Miami, after, you got to understand, now they self-imposed a lot of bans on themselves. Miami Athletic Department has punished itself with its tails between its legs. I mean, you got to say, God dog it. Should I have put self-imposed bans on us? Or should I say, you know what, hey, forget that junk, man. We'll let you guys tell us what you're going to give us. And I'm going to let you guys know, for those that are listening, what the University of Miami self-imposed on themselves. Miami has given up two bowl games and what would have been the program's first ACC championship game appearance since joining the league. You got to understand, when the University of Miami and Florida State jumped and joined the ACC, Miami hasn't been to an ACC championship when those thought that Miami would single-handedly win the ACC championship. They thought Florida State and Miami would dominate, but that hasn't happened, and they had an opportunity to get there, and they had to forego it because of self-imposed ban. And also, the Canes have reduced, you know, they have reduced their official visits. So that is when recruits come to see them. They have reduced that down, so they have lessened the amount of recruits that can come on their campus. So they got to be picky about who they take on and who they bring in to their program. Not only that, they have reduced their contacts and evaluation days in the fall. So that means they've given up the ability to contact recruits when the NCAA, I think it is in August, will give schools unlimited ability to contact recruits, which I think is going to get out of control and get crazy. For you guys, you know, in the South Florida area, you guys look at a guy like Brandon Powell. His phone is going to be ringing off the hook steadily, nonstop. Nonstop, nonstop, nonstop. The Miami have also, and this is the biggest thing, I think, and sometimes it takes you years to recover from this, they have given up their number of scholarships. It took USC so long to recover from that when they reduced their scholarships. Miami, back in the day when they reduced their scholarship, it took them a while. It took them a while to come up and start bouncing back. And I think even from that, they still really hasn't bounced back at this present time. In day and age when it comes to the University of Miami and their football program. it is, like I say, this is a case that you got to say it's funny the way this thing is handling out. Because like I told you, for those that are joining the Tony Sands show, we are talking about a lack of institutional control on whose side? Miami, NCAA. Because when you look at it, both sides may have that title, but which side has the strongest title of a lack of institutional control? You got to say, I think when you're talking about an organization such as the NCAA, an organization that governs several universities, and supposed to, when you talk about university, and this is what people, I think, miss the boat. When you talk about university, you talk about a program that's supposed to be held to a high standards. And then when you talk about the NCAA, they're supposed to be held to an even higher standard because they governs these universities. So now, when the kids do wrong, they're always a heavy penalty on them. Heavy penalty. Hey, we're suspending them. We're kicking them off teams. All that. But now when the heads of these organizations, when it comes to coaches, when it comes to the NCAA and Mr. Emmer, who is the president of the NCAA, when you guys bosh up, who punish you guys? No one. No one punishes you guys, but the players are always at the bottom of the totem pole. And here we are again saying who's going to punish the NCAA. Now, they just say, okay, I was screwed up. What the heck? Well, we move on. But we're still moving forward with our investigation. And I don't think that should be. I think at some point you got to man up and say, you know what? We screwed up here, people. And there are going to be some heads rolling. There's got to be heads rolling. Because there was a screw up in this. And I think they made a sacrificial lamb out of the lady that was heading up this investigation. They made a sacrificial lamb out of it. I think they fired her and they would consider that, we're doing enough. We did enough. Why we bought her down, and that's good enough. That's good enough. But I don't think so. I think the head should go, because I still say the head is the one that gave the orders to pay this guy. Mr. Ember, you know you gave the order to pay this guy. But now you would throw one person under the bus to justify your means. Man, this is crazy. It is getting even crazier that we will allow things like this to fester and continue to go on and let people get away with what we call just out of control punishment. Out of control punishment. Stay tuned here to the Tony Sands Show. We're going to go and cut away for a brief moment as we may bring you back. And we will bring you back with our main man, Hassan Bailey, in the next half hour of this show. He's going to talk NFL draft. And I may let him chime in on this because he have played college football and played in the NFL. We're going to go to a commercial break. I'm going to let you rise to the top, you Hurricane fans, because guess what, buddy? When this is all over, said and done, the Miami Hurricanes will be what? Rising to the top. Back with you.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Ladies, Whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're misindependent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking for an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress.
Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
Back here on the Tony Sands Show. Man, it is lovely. I'm reading through this transcript, this 52-page transcript. And I'm saying to myself, wow, as I read this, guys, you got, I'm going to tell you where you can go. If you want to read up on the transcript of the NCAA and their infraction committee, you can go to www.ncaa.org/WPS/WCM/connect NCAA probe the University of Miami. And it talks in detail about the University of Miami and the way things are being handled. But now, without further ado, I've introduced you to my main guy and told you somewhat a little bit about him. I'm going to let him come on and introduce himself. My main man, Hassan Bailey. What's going on, Hassan?
How you doing, Tony?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you doing this day?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. I had a productive day.
Hassan, I'm going to tell you something. We talked about a little bit about the NCAA and their lack of institutional control that's going on down here at the University of Miami. There's a lot going on, man, that, wow, makes you wonder. Makes you wonder.
Yeah.
But the one thing, Hans, that makes me wonder is the way the NCAA did their investigation of this whole case. You hire the attorney of Nevin Shapiro, and he works, this same lady worked for Nevin Shapiro and NCAA. Now, in a court of law, that's a conflict of interest. You know, a conflict of interest in both sides. Have you guys been hearing about that in Ohio, about the way this investigation has been handled?
Not actually the way that the investigation has been handled, but the infractions and what's going on there at the University of Miami. Yeah, that, I mean, it's pretty alarming. But that's the University of Miami. You know, now they seem to be, you know, coming down with something else. But then again, like I said, I'm not too up on legal matters and who's all involved in that part of it and who started the investigations.
Yeah, and that's the part that we down here in South Florida, because, you know, my show is based out of Florida. You know, it's based out here in South Florida, so we're up on a lot of this. It's been an investigation that's been ongoing now since 2011. The investigation started back in 2011. In January, you know, and now here we are in January again. So it's been a long investigation. It's probably been one of the longest investigations that the NCAA has ever had when you're trying to bring punishments to an institution. It's probably one of the longest investigations that they've been through. So what's happened is paid this $20,000. You gave the institution, now this NCAA, gave Nevin Shapiro what we would consider a throwaway phone. Anytime you give someone a throwaway phone, that means, guess what? You don't want a trail. You know, you want to throw, you know, stuff get tough. Hey, man, we never gave you that phone, but they gave him a phone. And that's, you know, things that, you know, that's been talked about. You gave this guy, you paid this guy. Nevin Shapiro ran a Ponzi scheme that produced $930 million.
Wow.
That's a lot of money. A lot of money that this guy, he's right now presently spending 20 years in prison for this Ponzi scheme. Now, tell me this. You had a friend, and well, not a friend, but if there was anybody, if you was, you know, in something, and all of a sudden the guy that lying on you of making statements against you has also been known to be a liar. How true do you believe what he says? How face value do you hold it?
Oh man, that, you know, once you cross a line of online, and you know, you cross a line of ethics, then from there trust is gone. You know, and that's why they established a code of ethics and all organizations, and especially the NCAA, because they hold these universities accountable through these code of ethics, and they should hold these people who are, you know, independent contractors and so on and so forth with the NCAA to the same ethics. And with someone lies like that, man, and you know that from Jump Street, you know, that's just a mistrust issue, and I can never trust that person again.
Exactly. Now, you know, we've been up under NCAA from playing football. Like you said, once you establish trust has been broken, then there is where the problem lies. Now, the NCAA has broken the trust of a lot of people doing this investigation because you botched this investigation. You paid Ms. Perez, Real Perez, you paid to get you information in a bankruptcy proceeding, which you never supposed to have gotten this information. So you had to pay her.
Right.
Then you paid Devin Shapiro for information. So you're paying the guy that, as I would say, destroyed, lied. $930 million, right. This guy lied, and then he lied on, you know, I'm quite sure, you know, a lot of this stuff. They're saying, okay, we had 100% on the University of Miami. Now we only have 20% that we're going to kick out, so we're still going to go ahead with 80%. And I stated earlier in the show, how much of the 80% do we trust and believe is true when you already showed us that you bossed up 20% of the case?
Right. Well, it also called into question the people or the organization who paid for the services to a person who was involved in such a scandal or so on and so forth. It also calls their character into question, and you begin to question anything that they do and that they begin to decide and the reasons. And you also question the relationship previously that they had had with this person and what have you. So, yeah, it could be pretty detrimental to both parties involved from the outside looking in.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's what everybody down here, in a court of law, if we was in a regular court of law, there would be a mistrial in this case. Completely.
Right, exactly.
It would never go forward. A judge says it's been tainted too much to even go forward. So at this point, he would declare a guarantee a mistrial because the investigation, once it's botched up once, how much of truth is in the 80% that you're saying that you have? And I think NCAA, and I still say it, Haas, don't want to back down off this. They don't want to back down off it due to the fact they wonder what other schools will say. Would say.
Due to what? I'm sorry.
They wonder what schools like USC, Ohio State, all these other schools that they've hit, Penn State, that they've hit with these lack of institutional control and have punished them to a great degree. They wonder what these schools will say if you don't come down on the University of Miami. So now, does this force Mr. Embert to say, hey, we still got to come up with something that we got to hit these guys with? We can't say, due to our screw up, we're going to let the University of Miami off. But I think that's going to come back to bite Mr. Embert because he's supposed to control his environment. At the NCAA's office, he's supposed to control all the people that work under him, and the people that work under him are the ones that botched this investigation. And for him to say that he had no knowledge that they paid Ms. Perez $20,000 for her information and her legal fees. These were her legal fees that they paid. The NCAA paid her $100,000 in legal fees. They went on and paid Nathan Shapiro. You pay me, I'm a guy going to prison. You say you're going to pay me some money, I'm going to give you some information too. Right. And then you, Hosh, you right. forced. Now, this was the crazy part. They were telling the players at the University of Miami that Nathan Shapiro bought before on this thing that if they do not tell, if they do not speak to them, they're going to take what Nathan Shapiro said as true value and run with it. Wow. How do you put your hands around that? What, I mean, that's tough. You know,
I'm sorry, but your voice is cutting out a little bit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I say, how do you put yourself around that when you say that if people that are involved in this investigation that you're looking at do not speak, that you're going to take what Nevin Shapiro, this Ponzi schemer that stole $930 and locked his way to that, that you're going to believe what he say because I don't want to come and speak to you. You have no legal right to even make me speak because you're not a court of law. And I do not have to speak with the NCAA if I don't have to. And the NCAA tried to force these guys to speak. If they came to you and said, okay, Haas, we want you to speak, and if you don't speak, we're going to take what Nevin Shapiro said is true, what would you tell the NCAA?
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
We're having a little technical difficulties, guys, but we're going to get Haas back. The producers are going to try to get him back on the line. We're talking with Hassan Bailey from Ohio as we talk botched up investigation here on the Tony Sands Show. It is beautiful to be on this show. Man, I'm reading through. Guys, you got to read through this. People, read through this transcript to get an idea of what truly went on with this investigation. I can't believe the amount of monies in legal fees that were put out to Nevin Shapiro and his people. I just can't believe it. And it went on and is still an investigation that at this point have no ending in sight. Has no ending in sight. My people are going to try to get Hassan Bailey back on the air with us as we continue to talk.
Tony.
Oh, you're back with us. Okay, Haas, what's going on, man? Hey, but as I said before, we had the technical difficulty. I stated, if the NCAA came to you and said, okay, Hassan, we're going to force you to speak to us. You're going to speak to us, and if you don't speak to us, we're going to take what this guy says is true value. What would you tell the NCAA?
Wow. I mean, to be put in that position, you know, where you're given that type of ultimatum, it's a pretty tough position for a young man to be involved in. I mean, but if they have to speak, you know, if they're, you know, their backs are against the wall and this is the NCAA, then, you know, they may not necessarily want to put themselves in a position to where, you know, the NCAA will begin to investigate any of their actions there at the university and whether they were involved or what have you, or to what degree. So, but then again, if this man was there and he assisted them and you have his trust, you know, and what have you, but, you know, then you have that type of dilemma to where, you know, you're played against both sides. And
exactly.
That, you know, that's a tough ultimatum to deal with.
Because I'm loyal to my university. And I told people, first of all, I tell you, you got to take what he said, because in my case, I'm not going to speak to you because you can't force me to speak to you because you can't subpoena me to speak to you because you're not a court of law. You're not a legal court of law. You can say, okay, I'm going to take that and punish your university. That's fine. But you can never say that I told you anything. And I think when you look at it the way we are as football guys, we are, you know, we're football guys, and we hold a strong creed to our fellow athletes that, hey, buddy, that's that code of silence that I'm not giving you. You have to take what he say. Now you got to go and prove what he say. That's the issue I think that they've had so long. That's why I think this investigation has gone so long, because I don't think they have what they thought they had. And I think they're trying to squeeze players and to make them talk and say, we have what we say we have. And I don't think they have what they say they have. But Haas, let's get on to another subject before we close this show out. Let's talk DBs and what it takes to be a DB coming out of college, getting ready to go to the pros, being that you went through this process and became an NFL DB. What are some of the things that you think NFL scouts will look at when it comes to being a defensive back, trying to leave college, going into the pros?
They'll definitely be looking at leadership qualities, among the other attributes that, you know, you should be coming with as a top defensive back out of college, you know, meaning speed, strength, agility, so on and so forth. Those are the tangibles. But the things that are intangibles are, you know, does this person have great character? Does this guy have great leadership? Does he possess leadership skills? Things like that are what's really going to matter. Like, their talent is already showing. If they're invited to the combine, they're being talked to by professional teams, they're getting interviewed, then they're already on the radar. So that means that their play spoke for itself, and being that the play spoke for itself, then they get the chance and the opportunities at the combine and at their university home camps to have these interviews and so on and so forth, to where they get to show that they have the character, they have the leadership qualities, and they have the intangibles of what it takes to be not only a top athlete in the NFL, but a top man, a top player, a top human being.
And that's correct. And as you said, once they get invited to the combine, you get invited. What is that experience like to be at an NFL combine for those that are wondering what that experience is like for an athlete?
Well, for one, I mean, overall, it's a great experience. It's one of the lifetime experiencing goal. I mean, first of all, you're getting your invitation. It just lets you know that you're being looked at, that, like I said before, that you're on the radar. And that makes you feel pretty good because, you know, it's like, all right, where your dreams are, you know, kind of actualizing and manifesting and finally coming true. So when you get there, then it, you know, becomes intimidating, you know, because it's, you know, everybody that is there has the same qualities and skill level that you have, you know, just in different areas. You know, someone may be a little faster or someone may be a little stronger, but yet, you know, the competition is king there. So it gets a little intimidating. And then the simple fact that, you know, the you're in a university in Indianapolis, or excuse me, Indianapolis Colts stadium, and being in that environment and watching all the coaches and the scouts and the general managers walk around, and it gets pretty intimidating. But, you know, overall, it's a great experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Now, what you speak, what typically goes on the first day that you guys arrive at the NFL Combine? What are some of the things that they expect out of a defensive back when you guys arrive on your first? Because everybody waits around. There's two positions that everybody waits to see. And I think the most glamorous position that everybody waits to see is when the defensive backs get ready to do their thing at the NFL Combine. Walk me through a first day when you arrive at the NFL Combine. What goes on that first day?
Pretty much during the first day, you know, it's like orientation. You know, you're getting the information about what you're getting in store for. And, you know, that can be intimidating in itself, because it's a lot of information. It's a lot of vitally important information, information that you're going to need to know that's going to take you to the next level. So you have to be very open and understanding, and be on your toes and T's and Q's and pay attention.
attention and be very focused on what you're there for. So you go through the orientation, and then when the process happens, one of the first areas that you go to before you compete in lifting, speed, jumping ability, or whatever it is, you go see the medical professionals. And what the medical professionals want to do, they want to check and see, they want to check your medical records and make sure that, you know, everything that, you know, is on the history of your life is nothing there that is affected now. So, like, if you broke your pinky at when you were 5 years old, they're going to check your pinky and make sure that you have full function of that pinky. You have full range of motion. And they want to make sure that, you know, you're going to be to fulfill the position that they're inquiring you about. And so you go through that process, and after that, you know, you kind of get to meet, and then, you know, they take your height and your weight and size and so on and so forth. And then you meet a lot of the position coaches, and they take you through a lot of the drills, and that's when you begin to compete. That's when the intensity rises. Guys, you know, are really, you know, on top of their game, you know, ready to perform the best, and it's a great experience. And that's pretty much what you're going to go through. And then from after that, you go into the interviews with the coaches, and the sessions. The weekend is pretty much done. It goes by really fast because you're so focused on what it is that you have to do that, you know, you're not really thinking about anything else, or you're not thinking about nothing else. And so the weekend goes by pretty fast, actually. But yet, it's one of the most important weekends that these guys are ever facing in their life.
Yeah, because it's almost like you're auditioning for a job. It's your job interview. It is an interview for you. But I'm going to tell you this, Hoss. Normally, when I look at the NFL draft and I looked at the top, the first round, just look at the first round. There's a lot of DBs normally that get picked up in the first round. But when I look at this draft, I only see about three top guys that would go in the first round. And that's my guy Wilson from UConn and Banks from Mississippi State and Myler from Alabama. It's only three. But when you look in the top 10, top picks in the, you know, top 10 picks, out of 10, six of these guys are defensive guys and three are offensive guys. You got two DNs, a D tackle, and like I said, you got four defensive tackles, a cornerback, and then you got a safety. So, you know, the defensive side of the ball is being looked at greatly, but the corners are seeming to, I don't know if there's not enough of them out there or this was a bad year. Being that defensive, you know, receivers are big, I think they're looking for that big physical defensive back, and I don't think they're in this draft. Is there anyone that you watched in college football this year that as the defensive back that you think stands out to you as a guy that someone need to look at, rather he's under the radar, on people board? Is there anyone that you've seen this year that stands out to you?
Well, you know, I got a lot of watching out of Big 12. So I looked at, you know, a lot of Oklahoma. I looked at the Oklahoma, the Texas, the Oklahoma State, and so on and so forth. But, yeah, you know, as a cornerback, you know, I like Quadri Diggs. You know, he seems to be pretty well, you know, he has pretty good speed, and he has great hands. He also has some family that's involved in football as well. So it's kind of running in the blood. And I think he's ranked pretty much in terms of passing defense, pass defense efficiency. So and then from there, you know, I pretty much like a lot of the safeties. You know, well, if you look, Tony Jefferson, another Oklahoma guy, he's pretty good. You know, I think he's you know, maybe a little undersized, a little bit for safety. I think he's like 5'11", 200 pounds or something like that. But he has great style, pass defense ability, great leaping ability, interception ability. It's pretty fast, but he has great raw athletic ability, and that's what I like most about him. Of course, you know, like you said, you got the Alabamas, you got the LSUs, and they got a couple guys.
Correct. They do have that guys, Hoss. Hey, Hoss, man. Hey, we got to run, man. Listen, I want to bring you back on the show next week, and we're going to continue to talk defensive basketball. That, by that time, guess what? The NFL Combine will start and be on its way. And who's greater to give me information on defensive backs here on the Tony Sands Show than my main man, Hassan Bailey, a guy that's been to the NFL and understand what it takes, guys, to be a professional NFL defensive back. Hoss, thank you for coming on the Tony Sands Show. Hey, man, we'll hit up. I'm going to hit you up tomorrow, and we're going to talk some more and let you talk a little bit next week about what you're doing in the Ohio area. That's my main man, Hoss. Guys, that's it for me here on the Tony Sands Show. As we're in closing, who is the true institution that has a lack of institutional control? See you later here on the Tony Sands Show.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.